crusades, new and old. Shortly after 9/11, U.S. President George W. Bush initially announced the beginning of a crusade against the forces that unleashed September 11th. Under criticism from his advisors, who said that the term evoked outrage in much of the Arab world, he relented, and the term was heard no more. While the word crusade may no longer be used in presidential speech, there can really be little doubt that it is precisely the concept of crusade that actuates many of the actions of the U.S. government vis-a-vis the countries of the Middle East. Bush has spoken often of remaking the face of the region. There's a reason why Arab countries and communities reacted with outrage and horror at the mere mention of the Crusades. Arabs and Europeans view that past differently because their respective cultures were in conflict then. The Europeans saw the Crusades as a noble assignment from the popes to liberate Jerusalem from the hands of the infidels, the Muslim Arabs and Moors. The Arabs saw the era as one of unrelenting bloodshed and cruelty at the hands of the Christians, and saw the dark days of European colonialism as an echo of that earlier period. For many Americans, the notion of crusades, while not as loaded as either, evokes bright, shiny images of knights with crosses on their shields, defending the poor and the weak. Behind the various images of the crusades, however, lies its awful and bloody history, which British historian Edward Gibbon, in his classic, The History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, does not hesitate to relate. He is not one who recites the glories of these mass military campaigns. It appears to me, Gibbons writes, that these 200 years of holy wars have checked rather than forwarded the maturity of Europe. Gibbon writes, the lives and labors of millions which were buried in the East would have been more profitably employed in the improvement of their native country. The accumulated stock of industry and wealth would have overflowed in navigation and trade, and the Latins would have been enriched and enlightened by a pure and friendly correspondence with the climates of the East. The Crusades were not absolutely evil, he argues, in that they did away with another evil. The Crusades unleashed an untold number of Europeans who were tied to the soil as serfs. These people were thrown into the teeming armies of the Crusades, and the costs of such ventures dissipated the estates of the barons, allowing the poor to agitate for some semblance of freedom and some social standing free of the rapacious nobility. Gibbons reminds us that wars began for many various reasons, yet few of us can see their ends. Surely, the nobles of church and state, who alone bore the stamp of citizen or men before the 200 years of war, could not foresee their dissipation and loss of power and prestige afterwards. They saw only the promise of vast wealth and misty inheritances of martial glory. Yet as ever, there are lessons in history. War, the saying goes, is the sport of kings. It is also often an engine of societal change that transforms the nations that wage war as often as the nations that are warred against. The first Crusades weakened rather than strengthened Europe, but this was lost to those ruling and wealthy classes who could not see past their own avarice. We're told that these wars, too, will, in the crippled words of Bush, last for generations. None of us can see the beginning of an end, but if history teaches us anything, it is that change is coming. It will change them, but assuredly, it will change us as well. For Free Speech Radio News, from Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio